Chapter 55, The San Francisco Earthquake. Thursday afternoon, April 12, 1906, Mrs. White left her home to attend the annual meeting of the Southern California Conference at Los Angeles and the dedicatory exercises of two sanitariums, Paradise Valley near San Diego and Loma Linda in the San Bernardino Valley. The first few days were spent in Loma Linda, and during this time she had a remarkable experience, which she has briefly described thus. Retributive Judgments. While at Loma Linda, California, April 16, 1906, there passed before me a most wonderful representation. During a vision of the night, I stood on an eminence from which I could see houses shaken like a reed in the wind. Buildings, great and small, were falling to the ground. Pleasure resorts, theaters, hotels, and the homes of the wealthy were shaken and shattered. Many lives were blotted out of existence, and the air was filled with the shrieks of the injured and the terrified. The destroying angels of God were at work. One touch and the buildings so thoroughly constructed that men regarded them as secure against every danger quickly became heaps of rubbish. There was no assurance of safety in any place. I did not feel in any special peril, but the awfulness of the scenes that passed before me I cannot find words to describe. It seemed that the forbearance of God was exhausted and that the judgment day had come. The angel that stood by my side then instructed me that but few have any conception of the wickedness existing in our world today, and especially the wickedness in the large cities. He declared that the Lord has appointed a time when he will visit transgressors in wrath for persistent disregard of his law. Terrible as was the representation that passed before me, that which impressed itself most vividly upon my mind was the instruction given me in connection with it. The angel that stood by my side declared that God's supreme rulership and the sacredness of his law must be revealed to those who persistently refuse to render obedience to the King of Kings. Those who choose to remain disloyal must be visited in mercy with judgments, in order that, if possible, they may be aroused to a realization of the sinfulness of their course. Throughout the following day, I pondered the scenes that had passed before me and the instruction that had been given. During the afternoon, we journeyed to Glendale near Los Angeles, and the following night, I seemed to be in an assembly setting before the people the requirements of God's law. I read the scriptures regarding the institution of the Sabbath in Eden at the close of the creation week, and regarding the giving of the law at Sinai, and then declared that the Sabbath is to be observed for a perpetual covenant, as a sign between God and his people forever, that they may know that they are sanctified by the Lord their Creator. Then I further dwell upon the supreme rulership of God above all earthly rulers. His law is to be the standard of action. Men are forbidden to pervert their senses by intemperance or by yielding their minds to satanic influences, for this makes impossible the keeping of God's law. While the divine ruler bears long with perversity, he is not deceived and will not always keep silence. His supremacy, his authority as ruler of the universe must fully be acknowledged and the just claims of his law vindicated. Much more instruction regarding the long-suffering of God and the necessity of arousing transgressors to a realization of their perilous position in his sight was repeated to the people as received from my instructor. It has taken me many days to write out a portion of that which was revealed those two nights at Loma Linda and Glendale. On April 18, 2 days after the scene of falling buildings had passed before me, I went to fill an appointment in the Carr Street Church, Los Angeles. As we neared the church, we heard the newsboys crying, "San Francisco destroyed by an earthquake." With a heavy heart, I read the first hastily printed news of the terrible disaster. Working the cities from outpost centers, in the course of our talk before the conference, Mrs. White exalted the sacredness of God's law and spoke decidedly regarding the necessity of prompt action and of acquainting the people with the meaning of the things coming upon the earth. She referred particularly to the advantages to be gained by working the cities from outpost centers. out of the cities, out of the cities, she declared. This is the message the Lord has been giving me. The earthquakes will come, the floods will come, and we are not to establish ourselves in the wicked cities where the enemy is served in every way and where God is so often forgotten. The Lord desires that we shall have clear spiritual eyesight. We must be quick to discern the peril that would attend the establishment of institutions in these wicked cities. We must make wise plans to warn the cities and at the same time live where we can shield our children and ourselves from the contaminating and demoralizing influences so prevalent in these places. Scenes of destruction. 2 weeks later, Mrs. White returned to her St. Helena home by way of San Jose, Mountain View, and San Francisco. As we traveled northward, she wrote in an account of this journey, "We saw some of the effects of the earthquake, and when we entered San Jose, we could see that large buildings had collapsed and that others had been seriously damaged. At Mountain View, the new post office and some of the largest stores in town had been leveled to the ground. Other buildings had partially collapsed and were badly wrecked. On our way home from Mountain View, we passed through San Francisco, and hiring a carriage, spent an hour and a half viewing the destruction wrought in that great city. Buildings that were thought to be proof against disaster were lying in ruins. In some instances, buildings were partially sunken in the ground. The city presented a most dreadful picture of the inefficiency of human ingenuity to frame fireproof and earthquake-proof structures." Warnings and exhortations. As regards her teachings and warnings concerning the necessity of earnest endeavor in proclaiming the third angel's message in the cities, in view of the calamities that were to befall populous centers as the end of the world draws nigh, Mrs. White has written, "Since the San Francisco earthquake, many rumors have been current regarding statements I have made. Some have reported that while in Los Angeles, I claimed I had predicted the San Francisco earthquake and fire, and that Los Angeles would be the next city to suffer. This is not true. The morning after the earthquake, I said no more than that the earthquakes will come, the floods will come, and that the Lord's message to us is that we shall not establish ourselves in the wicked cities. Not many years ago, a brother laboring in New York City published some very startling notices regarding the destruction of that city. I wrote immediately to the ones in charge of the work there, saying that it was not wise to publish such notices, that thus an excitement might be aroused which would result in a fanatical movement hurting the cause of God. It is enough to present the truth of the Word of God to the people. Startling notices are detrimental to the progress of the work." Under date of August 3, 1903, Mrs. White further wrote regarding this sensational report, "How comes the word that I have declared that New York is to be swept away by a tidal wave? This I have never said. I have said, as I looked at the great buildings going up there, story after story, what terrible scenes will take place when the Lord shall arise to shake terribly the earth. Then the words of Revelation 18:1-3 will be fulfilled. The whole of the 18th chapter of Revelation is a warning of what is coming on the earth. But I have no light in particular in regard to what is coming on New York, only I know that one day the great buildings there will be thrown down by the turning and overturning of God's power. From the light given me, I know that destruction is in the world. One word from the Lord, one touch of His mighty power, and these massive structures will fall. Scenes will take place, the fearfulness of which we cannot imagine." On September 1, 1902, Mrs. White wrote, "Well-equipped tent meetings should be held in the large cities such as Los Angeles. For not long hence, these cities will suffer under the judgments of God. San Francisco and Oakland are becoming as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord will visit them in wrath. June 20, 1903, the judgments of God are in our land. The Lord is soon to come in fire and flood and earthquake. He is warning the inhabitants of this earth of His soon approach. Oh, that the people may know the time of their visitation. We have no time to lose. We must make more determined efforts to lead the people of the world to see that the day of judgment is at hand. June 3, 1903. There are many with whom the Spirit of God is striving. The time of God's destructive judgments is the time of mercy for those who have no opportunity to learn what is truth. Tenderly is the Lord, will the Lord look upon them. His heart of mercy is touched. His hand is still stretched out to save. November 12, 1902. The time is nearing when the great crisis in the history of the world will have come, when every movement in the government of God will be watched with intense interest and inexpressible apprehension. In quick succession, the judgments of God will follow one another, fire and flood and earthquake with war and bloodshed. Something great and decisive will soon of necessity take place. February 15, 1904. When I was last in New York, I was in the night season, called upon to behold buildings rising story after story toward heaven. These buildings were warranted to be fireproof, and they were erected to glorify the owners. Higher and still higher these buildings rose, and in them the most costly material was used. As these lofty buildings went up, the owners rejoiced with ambitious pride that they had money to use in glorifying self. Much of the money that they thus invested had been obtained through exaction, through grinding the faces of the poor. In the books of heaven, an account of every business transaction is kept. There every unjust deal, every fraudulent act is recorded. The time is coming when in their fraud and insolence, men will reach a point that the Lord will not permit them to pass, and they will learn that there is a limit to the forbearance of Jehovah. The scene that next passed before me was an alarm of fire. Men looked at lofty and supposedly fireproof buildings and said they are perfectly safe. But these buildings were consumed as if made of pitch. The fire engines could do nothing to stay the destruction. The firemen were unable to operate the engines. I am instructed to say that when the Lord's time comes, should no change have taken place in the hearts of proud, ambitious human beings, men will find that the hand that has been strong to save will be strong to destroy. No earthly power can stay the hand of God. No material can be used in the erection of buildings that will preserve them from destruction when God's appointed time comes to send retribution on men for their insolence and their disregard of His law. Calls to repentance. The mercy of God in sparing so many lives during the dreadful calamity befalling San Francisco and nearby communities was pointed out by Mrs. White as constituting a strong appeal to all classes to recognize the supreme rulership of Jehovah and the binding claims of His law. She urged that evangelistic efforts be carried on in the cities about the bay in order that the people may have every opportunity to learn the meaning of the judgments coming upon the inhabitants of the earth. Accordingly, for many months following the earthquake, special and continued efforts were made to proclaim the third angel's message in San Francisco and Oakland and other Bay cities. Mrs. White did what she could to encourage the workers stationed in these places and made several visits herself to the companies of laborers busily engaged in teaching the people. When meeting with those who were familiar with the truths of God's Word, she appealed to them to lend willing assistance to the efforts of the workers. At the same time, she wrote also of the far-reaching work that is to be done in every land. The world is filled with transgression, she declared. A spirit of lawlessness pervades every land and is especially manifest in the great cities of the earth. The sin and crime to be seen in our cities is appalling. God cannot forbear much longer. Already His judgments are beginning to fall on some places, and soon His signal displeasure will be felt in other places. There will be a series of events revealing that God is master of the situation. The truth will be proclaimed in clear, unmistakable language. As a people, we must prepare the way of the Lord under the overruling guidance of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is to be given in its purity. The stream of living water is to deepen and widen in its course. In all fields, nigh and afar off, men will be called from the plow and from the more common commercial business vocations that largely occupy the mind, and will be educated in connection with men of experience. As they learn to labor effectively, they will proclaim the truth with power. through most wonderful workings of divine providence, mountains of difficulty will be removed and cast into the sea. The message that means so much to the dwellers upon the earth will be heard and understood. Men will know what is truth. Onward and still onward, the work will advance until the whole earth shall have been warned, and then shall the end come.